Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. It's on page 1027 of the Pew Bible. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So I've been thinking about these songs over the last few weeks, and I've been thinking about like a musical, really. And all storylines, all musicals, all books have got a climax to the story. And that's where we're reaching with this part of the story today. We've heard two songs by two individuals expressing how they feel. It was Mary's song, as the angel had told her she was going to bear the Son of God, and this amazing song of praise that came from her, inspired by the Spirit. Then last week we thought about Zechariah's song, who was going to be the father of John the Baptist, even though he was unbelieving and old and all kind of things against him, but he and Elizabeth, his wife, were going to have this amazing child who would be a forerunner, prepare the people for Jesus coming. And we had his wonderful song, his expression of praise, realizing what God is doing in the world and in his life. But today we come to the climax of this part of the story, because the one that they're looking forward to is going to be born. And so instead of a couple of individuals, we have the whole chorus joining here, just like you would in a West End musical. The whole gang singing a great big song because something amazing has happened. A whole turning point in the plot. A whole turning point in history. This is it. Jesus has arrived. He has come. The time will really have come fully. The real climax will happen 33 years later when Jesus goes to a cross, when he gives his life, and when he's resurrected from the dead. But for now, Jesus slips into the world. But look what happens in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them." We're going to think about the angel in just a moment. But for this moment, the shepherds, who were shepherds? Why did the angel come to shepherds? Shepherds were social outcasts. Just by their very nature, they lived in an unclean state. They couldn't give testimony in a court of law. They weren't to be trusted. As one of the commentators said that I was reading, said they found it hard to tell the difference between mine and thine. You know, there was a kind of lot of roguery and thievery and stuff like that going on. Not that these shepherds were like that. But that was the class of people that they came from, people not necessarily to be trusted, whose word couldn't be believed. And yet the angel had come to them. And this whole book of Luke, in fact, all of Jesus' ministry is about him reaching out to the untouchable, the social outcast, the unclean, the sinner. That's who he hung out with. And this beautiful book of Jesus reaching out to people who the church maybe doesn't reach out to. But there were shepherds abiding in the field near Bethlehem. Now, can you think of any other shepherd in a field near Bethlehem watching sheep? Can you think of anybody else in the Bible who that might be? Who might it be in the Old Testament? What other? Top of the class, Jen. Little David watching the sheep, the youngest in his family, near Bethlehem, because that's where they lived. Son of Jesse. And this was a boy who would become a giant slayer and who would become a king. And here again in Bethlehem is the birth of a boy who would become a giant slayer as he slays sin and death and hell, and who would become a king, who was a king eternally, sitting on David's throne. So these shepherds are in the same field as David probably was. But another interesting thought is this, that some commentators say that these shepherds were looking after flocks that were destined for sacrifice in the temple. Isn't that an amazing thought? Flocks were supposed to be kept only in the wilderness, and there was a rabbinic rule that said that any animal found between Jerusalem and a spot near Bethlehem must be presumed to be a sacrificial victim. Isn't it amazing to think that these shepherds may well have been looking after the lambs that would be sacrificed in the temple on behalf of others? And that very soon these shepherds would run to the stable and gaze upon the face of the Lamb of God who would give his life as a sacrifice for many. What an amazing thought. There's a beautiful symmetry in God's ways, in God's word. It happens over and over again. And this is a beautiful thought, that they may well have been looking after these lambs that would be sacrificed. But verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were happy, and they were nonchalant. Well, they were asleep, they were led back. They were terrified. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you imagine what that must have been like? This was a physical manifestation of God's presence, God being there. This hadn't happened when the angel spoke to Mary. Hadn't happened when the angel spoke to Zechariah. But here, when the angel speaks to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Back in the day, the Israelites had been led through the wilderness by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day, a symbol of God's presence with them. Later on in the story, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is going to take three of his disciples up the Mount of Transfiguration. You know that story where Jesus is transfigured, transformed before their very eyes. His clothing becomes as white as light. The glory of the Lord shines around on a cloud, and God speaks to the disciples. This is my son. Listen to him. So here are these shepherds in the field. It's nighttime. An angel, the glory. And the angel says, don't be scared. What do you mean, don't be scared? It's too late. I'm frightened to death. My heart is racing. I'm about to faint. And you tell me, don't be frightened. Can you get the bigness of that story? It's a nice little phrase, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is God presencing himself with his shepherds. Take your breath away, make your heart skip a beat. But the angel says, don't be frightened. This was heaven meeting earth. But the angel brought good news of great joy. And it's the same good news that we talk about today. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. What does that mean? Well, Christ is a Greek word that means anointed one. People like priests or kings in the Old Testament were anointed because they were chosen for a special role, to do a special task. And so the one who was the baby in the manger was Christ, the anointed one. He was the one that was chosen. It's the same as the Hebrew word Messiah. Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. The anointed one, the chosen one. But the Jews had expected that one day that God would send a very special rescuer. Not just an anointed one, but the anointed one. And here he was, the Messiah. And then the term Lord, for he is Christ. The Lord, or Christ and Lord. The term Lord is a translation of the word, the Hebrew word Yahweh, which was God's personal name as he revealed to Moses when he spoke to him out of the burning bush. Moses said, when I go to Egypt, and they say, who sent you? Who will I say? And God says, tell them, I am who I am. Yahweh. That's what that means. And it's translated here as Lord. But what it's really saying is, you're Christ and Yahweh. You are Christ and God. This is who this baby in the manger is. He is the chosen one, the anointed one, and he is God. That's what that little phrase means. It is the highest thing you could say about anyone. This is God's chosen one. He is Yahweh. He is Lord. He is God. Isn't that amazing? This is this baby in a stable. This child was very special. Not just another baby. He was, in fact, Emmanuel, God with us. And then they're given a way to identify the baby in verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The wrapped in cloths bit probably wasn't the sign, but the sign was, here's a baby where you wouldn't expect him to be, lying in a feeding trough that animals eat out of. There might have been maybe a few babies that night. Bethlehem was a very small place, a little backwater. Why would God even choose Bethlehem? And yet Micah the prophet had said very clearly, hundreds of years before, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And here he is. Not only that, he is lying in a feeding trough. This is a sign to you. But the angel doesn't say to them, I want you to go. He doesn't say, I want you to go and see this baby who's lying in the manger. It's like he gives them an invitation. Come and behold him. He's saying, if you're interested in going, this is what you'll find. A baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. No command, but an invitation to go. An invitation to come. An invitation to see. An invitation to have your life turned upside down. And that's what he does to us today. He doesn't force any of us to come to him, to believe in him. He simply makes an invitation. Like the open house next Saturday. Do you want to come or don't you? That's what the angel said to those shepherds. Come, come and see. Verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. A great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Again, it's a line that we know really well, isn't it? But here is one angel. The glory of the God of God is shining around. These shepherds are scared stiff, and suddenly the heavens open, and there is a company of the heavenly host. That means army. So it's not like there's two or three angels up there. There is an army of angels. Can you get that picture? An army of angels. Suddenly the unseen world becomes seen. The unseen world is very real. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. In fact, the unseen world is much more real than what we see. Isn't that an amazing fact? But suddenly, the heavens open and an army of angels are saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with them, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On earth peace to all men on whom his favor rests. The angels sang about the glory of God because the glory of God is always a prerequisite to peace on earth. We cannot have peace without God. Not really. We can't have this without that. But the angel said, glory to God, and because of that, it is possible to have peace on earth, but only because of that. Last week I said that Zechariah song, or even this whole Christmas story, that's not just a nice sentimental little story. We should never think of it like that. But it's a declaration of war. A declaration of war on sin and death and hell. But this army of angels are declaring peace. Peace between God and man. Isn't that brilliant? An army bringing good news about peace. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have peace with God any other way. This is real peace. This is the peace that the Messiah brings. This is peace that we can have in all the events of life. Whereas choosing a career, bringing up a family, the highs and lows of life, peace, and peace when we die. This is real peace that comes through Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah. But the shepherds found him, just like the angel said, and they arrived and they looked at the face of God, Christ, the Lord. They looked upon his face and they left praising God. That was their response. This is always the appropriate response to having an encounter with God, to praise him, to see him, to know him. And this is a major theme running all the way through the book. Again, it's this beautiful symmetry about praise. The book opens in chapter 1 with Zechariah in the temple praising. The book finishes, the very last verses of Luke finds the disciples in the temple praising. And all the way through, people encounter Jesus and they give glory to God and they praise him. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. They found him. They responded to the invitation. They were filled with joy when they saw exactly what the angel said they would see. And they went off and they told everybody. And everybody was amazed at the story. But they were full of joy, full of praise, full of wonder. Their lives would have been turned upside down that night. Because of an angel. Because of an army. Because of God's presence. But mainly because they saw the baby lying in a manger. This would be a sign. And this is what we celebrate this Christmas. And this is how we should face this Christmas. So easy to leave Jesus out, to not have the gift, to have the wrapping and all the bits and pieces to it. Nothing at the heart of it. All of us can be like that, caught up in the busyness. And all those things are good. But if we fail to see Jesus, then it's a shame. So let's look upon his lovely face. Let's worship him this Christmas.